somewhere in the world today. Men have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. Excuse me. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Good morning. Hi, y'all. It's Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. And you can get involved by calling 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE, JESSE. And my biblical question for this week, for those men and women around the world who want, desire, to know themselves, to finally know themselves. These questions are to encourage you to pay attention to you, to know yourself, all right? Not for those who don't want to work on yourself. You go and do what you're doing. What did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one? I and my Father are one. What did he mean when he said that? I and my Father are one. That's amazing. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about anywhere in the world, we're here 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So different time zone for different folks, different strokes for different folks. And you just got to run around. You're like, well, I wish I could listen while it's happening. And you can. You can podcast and listen on your phone by calling the Listen Line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk. buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk or bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday already. Didn't we just have one? Ee-hi. And every Tuesday is one of our favorite days, because it is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What the?
Ooh,
let the dogs out.
Amazing. Who let the dogs out? It is a spiritual battle, a warfare between good and evil. It's amazing. And the unfortunate thing is that most people don't know it. And they're living possessed lives, thinking that is their own. And only the man or the woman who work on themselves, get to know yourself, live from within, will discover that. Otherwise, you'll be fighting for the rest of your life and never winning. You will never win. I think I heard, and I could be wrong about this, maybe it was some other incident or something. But remember when the Great White Hope had the fight at the White House over the weekend, the UFC thing? I think I heard that there were a possible planned attack, and they were able to stop it, or they found out about it or something before it happened or a little afterward. But they stopped it. Even though they didn't carry it out, there were a plan to. And when I heard that, and I'm not sure how it went, so don't quote me, all right, because I'm not sure. But when I heard that, I wasn't surprised at all. You got to realize, you don't have to realize, but when Biden was in the White House and Obama, they let in a lot of people from around the world come into our country. They let them in, and they didn't know who they were at all. They had Allahu Akbar people coming in, Chinese, Japanese, everything, just Africa, everything just came in across the border. And so I'm not surprised that these things are happening now. And we're going to hear about these things more and more and more now because these people are in our country now. And I want you to smoke on this. Your government let them in. The enemy within let the enemies from without into the country, not having any clue as to where they were from or where they were going once they got here. And so what's been happening in Europe with the cars attack, knife attacks, bomb attacks, whatever is happening here now. White man country is being infiltrated around the world. And it's the darndest thing I ever seen. And it's happening because our government, as they are in Europe, are all about themselves. The individuals are about themselves. They're only thinking of themselves. They're not thinking of the American people at all. And if you think for 1 second, if you believe for 1 minute that your government care about you, you got another thought coming. They don't care about you. Zero. It doesn't matter black or white, whatever color. It's all about what they can get, and it's about them. The individual person in the government, too. Isn't that amazing? America is gone. And our enemies are within. So, my producer just gave me this. The FBI disrupted a coordinated terror plot targeting the high-profile UFC Freedom 250 fight night event That's from Fox 5 DC. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever think that we would need to even be concerned about this happening in America? I remember reporting on these stories in Europe, how they had infiltrated the white countries over there and the attack upon white people. They can't even hold a rally or event or anything. And not have to be concerned about the attacks. The suspects plan to designate explosive Latin drone. Whoa. The suspects plan to designate explosive Latin drones against buildings near the White House complex. That's from NBC News. We're not talking about over in Europe. We're talking about right here on our soil. And getting to the point where you're not going to want to even go out to a major event. And they're having those, the 250-year celebration here right now. All type of events are happening where major people are there. Many people are showing up. It's too risky. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I'm always, I understand human nature now, so I'm not surprised, but I just think it's so amazing that the United States of America government let them in. We didn't let them in. We didn't go down to the borders, and as far as I know, it said, come on across. The government let the enemies in. And they don't have to be worried. They don't have to worry about it because they live behind gated fence. They have protection for the rest of their lives. And they are armed. And so they don't have to worry about it. We do. They set us up. All for personal gain only. I've been told that five people were in custody as investigators identified 23 individuals in a potential network of plotters. That's from Fox 5 DC. This is in America. And growing up in America, it didn't cross my mind or anyone else's mind that one day that our government would set us up to be killed. Isn't that amazing? They help bring our enemy into our country. For personal gain, for the boat. That's all they wanted, the boat. They don't care about anything else. And then they take away your Second Amendment, and then they call you racist if you disagree about all these people being here. And they're tying your hands behind your back where you can't function at all. These are human beings we're talking about. Tell me you don't know that human beings are possessed now and they're not on their own. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. The world gone crazy. Now do you want to go up there to the moon with Elon? Are you going to be the first in line? And hopefully we won't have a government up there. That way you don't have to choose between Republican, Democrat, no government. Let the people govern themselves. Because the moment you create a government, you got the same mess you have here. I want you to know it's truly a spiritual battle. And not one person on this planet is in control of their own lives. You're possessed and don't know it. Until you start to wake up and see that you're possessed. And it's going to get worse. And you know, the interesting thing is they want us fighting. They want us afraid. They want us desperate. So they can come back in after setting us up and say, hey, I'm here to save you. It kind of reminds me of Al Sharpton and all those so-called civil rights people. They created pure hell in America between the blacks and the whites. And then they said, vote for me. I'll save you from it, black people. And then the blacks voted for them, and no one was saved. And now the blacks and the whites are fighting today more than any other time, more than slavery time or any other time in the history of America. And it's going to get worse. And anytime you say anything, a non-black person say anything about it, oh, you're racist. They want to shut you down with fear. Fear is not your friend. Fear keeps you from functioning in life. And fear is not even real. It's not real. Did you hear about this? And by the way, black people, they don't love you, period. Your black representatives don't love you. Your black whatever don't love you. Your liberal white people or non-black don't love you either. You are being used for one purpose or two. One is to destroy and tear down, not to build up, and to use you to vote for them. That's all. They are not going to make your life better in any form or fashion. Even giving you free stuff is not to make your life better, it's to control you. All for a vote. All to get you to go out and react, overreact when they need you to, so you can come back and vote for them. That's all it's about. No love. Boston.com. A 14-year-old boy was arrested Friday in South Boston in connection with the armed robbery of a children's lemonade stand earlier in the week. So some of you might not know about this now because I don't think it's as popular as it used to be when America was amazing. White parents would let their little white kids go out on the sidewalk and sell lemonades right there on the stand, lemonade stand, to make little money for themselves, either for school or just for the fun of it. And the little kids would go out and set up a little stand and make some money from lemonade. Those days are behind us now. I've been trying to tell you, white people just want a first-class life. That's all they want. They teach their children to go to the best high school or whatever and get the best grades so they can go to the best universities and get the best education and then get the best job so they can have the best home and live in the best neighborhood and go first class when they fly, travel. And go hiking and go to Europe and just enjoy their life. Their little children to be able to go out in the morning and set up lemonade stands and let them learn to be entrepreneurs, even as little kids. That's all they want. They want to take a walk in the park. A walk in the park and just be free. Take a walk in the park on a day after work and just feel lonely. They don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be fighting with you. They don't want to have to be concerned you're going to break in their home when they leave or rob their children from a lemonade stand. Their children. Watch this from CBS Boston.
Yeah, Courtney, tonight this community is still pretty outraged that these kids were robbed at gunpoint at their lemonade stand. But they don't want children in this community to live in fear. So starting tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., they're taking that corner back where this robbery happened with another lemonade stand.
He walked over here. He said, I might need to take the box. And he grabbed it with one hand. And then he showed us the gun, which was right here.
Just one day after having a gun pulled on him and his little sister at their lemonade stand, 12-year-old David Byrne and these young entrepreneurs are going back to business at the very same spot where it happened. They're determined not to live in fear.
My sister, she put her hands up and I just said, you could have it. But after that, I just was like a little annoyed because we were 12 and 11 and you shouldn't really do that.
New video shows the masked juvenile suspects who police say robbed David and his 11-year-old sister at their lemonade stand along West 9th and E Streets. Police say the suspects first said they had no money, asked about Apple Pay before snatching the kids' cash chest.
Amazing, huh? See how you see now why white people are more innovative and motivated and build stuff? They even start teaching little children how to be that way. And those kids are going to grow up and be Elon Musk. Become Elon Musk and greater. But they can't because these people are going around robbing them. A 14-year-old boy, according to the story, along with another boy. I think he was 15. I may be wrong about his age, but he was a young kid too. What do you say about this kind of stuff? The father of the children shared his outrage. Why is this?
We first shared their dad's outrage last night.
It's outrageous that in such a good community that we can have something like this happen. I think we need some more presence around in order for this to never happen again.
Now the community is rallying behind the Burns, taking a stand against violence. Family friends Nicole and Jonathan Roll Call are mobilizing the lower end lemonade stand to take back their streets.
I'm angry. I'm angry that this happened in this community that we love.
50% of the money raised will be donated to a local gun violence prevention group.
It's safe. It's fun. They literally do this every day. And this is one thing that happens. So, of course, it's awful, right? But we want them to know, like, we're not going to stop them playing on the streets. We're not going to stop them hanging out with the kids around. It's
a community now coming together to turn a negative moment into a sweet lesson, one cup of lemonade at a time.
Amazing. This is what happened in the other white countries, folks. The exact same thing. And the white government over there want it because they want the vote. What a mess. The American that we once knew is now gone. I remember when I would go and live in Indiana for a while, you would see little white kids out on the sidewalk selling lemonade, and you would support them by buying lemonade even if you didn't want any. This is why white people don't want anyone in their neighborhood but white folks. Otherwise, they can't have a white life, and you'll just feel white. This is, everything is amazing to me. The government set it up. The government divide and conquer. And black people have been used. And I don't know, on the other video I saw, they showed the little black boys, look like black. They may not be black, but look like they were black. They have been accused of robbing the place, the lemonade stand. I could be wrong about the color, right? But they showed them going around and around until they finally went and robbed the thing. And they looked like they were black. And they said one has been arrested. And if you notice, they have not mentioned the race of the person. So they're definitely not white. If they were white, you already know that. You would have seen them in the very beginning, white boys walking around doing that. Don't tell me that human beings are not evil. Oh, let's find something good in others. You hear the women saying that especially. Oh, let's find something good in others. You ain't gonna find nothing good in someone. What's up? It just ain't gonna happen. You can't, a little kid cannot, brother and sister, or little kids, white kids cannot hold, set up a lemonade stand. It's bad enough they're going into the 7-Eleven and all these stores are doing this. Those are the kids, the people that did it. Are they black or foreign? They're like little foreigners. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, maybe for you, if I could zoom in, but the one on the left has dark skin.
Oh, he does?
And the one on the right has lighter skin.
Yeah, it does seem that way. What a mess.
And those are just the suspects from Fox.
Those are the suspects from Fox. They're showing pictures of the suspect that been accused and allegedly robbed the lemonade stand from the little children. Amazing! And it's going to get worse. The unfortunate thing, it is too far down the road now to turn around. It's too far down. It's gone. There's a little saying, they say, you kick the can way down the road, now you can't bring it back. Something like that. What a mess. So, when I come back from the break, I am going to take your calls and super chats. But Gavin Newsom seemed to think that President Trump want to stop him from being president. What the? Grandpa. Tell me about the good old days. And there were good old days when America was America. Would you rather have a segregated country? Segregated or integrated country? Which do you prefer now? I'm being told that the second suspect was 11-year-old Boston. Was 11 years old. That's from the Boston Herald. The seventh suspect from robbing the kids. According to the Boston Herald, 11 years old. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Amazing. So an 11-year-old and a 10-year-old, I think, 14-year-old, 11-year-old, 14-year-old, what are they doing with guns? What are they doing with guns? While the normal citizens who are not committing crimes don't even have weapons. What a mess. Announcement. Once again, no hate report today. What the? No hate report. But don't worry, the anchor baby's here. At 11 a.m., right after the hate report, if it was going to be, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. From 11 to 1. The American Anchor Baby. And then, don't forget the podcast, Billy, on Punchy TV. Punchy.tv with Bill. And you can podcast. He does brand new episodes every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And this Thursday, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, the women's forum. The women's forum. At 9 a.m., ladies, it's the third Thursday, and going all the way up to the 50th floor from the basement, the spiritual basement. The spiritual basement. This year, enduring until the end, coming from the basement and going all the way. 99 and a half won't do. You got to do 100. Either you're with the Father or you're not. But right now, these ladies are on their way back home to the Father. They're walking down the road on their way back to the Father at 7 p.m. Pacific time. They're Thursday ladies. All right? And that's amazing. Don't forget to like this video. Like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, and do all those good things. I mentioned real fast that Gavin Newsom is trying to say, according to this report, Trump investigated my wife and I because I may consider running for president. The Guardian is reporting. In a video statement, Gavin Newsom said on Monday that Donald Trump directed the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate him and his wife because he is considered running for president in 2028. Watch this from Fox.
We have some breaking news to get to. California Governor Gavin Newsom claims President Trump's Department of Justice is investigating him and his wife.
Recent days, federal agents have knocked on the doors of family, friends, and former employees. Not because they found a crime, because they're simply trying to find one. They're demanding records. They're abusing the grand jury process, digging through years and years of random documents. Donald Trump isn't just coming after me because of my mean tweets. He's coming after me because I'm considering running for president. Donald Trump picked the wrong target. We have nothing to hide.
Oh, Lord. What the? I don't know what part of that is true or not, but I do know that, according to the stories, they are investigating the fraud in California in the same way they did in Minnesota and other parts of the country. So I don't know if anyone afraid of Newsom running for president the way he screwed California up. What the? Whatever happened to smaller government? I wanted to have a little bit more information about those two suspects, the 11 and the 14-year-old, robbing the little kids' lemonade stand. The children described the little kids that was there. Little white kids, they describe the suspects. According to the report, one was described as a dark-skinned black male, about 14 years old, wearing a black Nike shisty. What's a shisty?
You ever seen those head coverings that only leave the eyes open?
Oh, okay. So a black, dark-skinned black male, 14 years old, wearing a black shasti. Black shasti.
Yeah, black. You may have heard them called balaclavas, maybe, but a rapper made them famous, so now they're called shisties.
A black shirt. Unknown color shorts and high white socks. This suspect displayed a black firearm in a waistband. That's from the Boston Herald. We played, I believe we played it yesterday. Some black guy was doing a show. And he was suggesting that all black people need to just move back to Africa and build Africa. And then so that they can have an economic effect on America. What the? And I was thinking, there's not one person in America who will regret the blacks leaving. Not one. And then you can't affect the economic situation in a bad way because now you won't have to pay EB cards. You don't have to give free this and free that. You don't have to give free stuff anymore. So you save so much money. So you're not going to hurt the economy in that way. You're going to help it. It's unfortunate, but I understand that evil can do this through human beings. And not only can do this, is doing this. The White House and the Department of Justice have declined to comment on that Newsom comment think leaving the exact nature and origin of the federal action unconfirmed by the administration, that's ABC7, what's going on? 888-77, Jesse, let me go to Jose out of Texas. Jose, you are on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Jesse?
All is well.
Thank you. Hey, I got a question because I've been getting closer to God lately, and I started going to church with my girlfriend. So when I go to the church right on Sundays, the pastor, like, he calls people up to the front, and he puts his hand on people's forehead, and then he talks in their ear, like he prays in their ear, and then he blows in their ear, and they fall down on the floor. And then they put a black sheet over the people that fall down, and I'm like, what the? These people taking naps in church.
What a mess.
I wanted to know if that's true. Like, does that really happen to people? Because he tried to do it to me, and he's telling me to put my hand up, and I don't like putting my hand up. So I was like, no. He tried to do it to me, and, you know what I'm saying, it didn't work on me. To me, like, those people are putting on an act. You think that's true?
Yeah, it's just an act. The people that fall down are embarrassed not to fall down because they don't want to embarrass the preacher. And they don't want to look silly for not falling out. So it's just all an act.
Man, that's exactly what I was thinking, man.
And so why do you go there?
Well, I started reading the Bible and stuff, and, you know, I just wanted to get closer to God.
But you're not going to get close to God at a church like that.
Yeah, and I like the way the preacher, like, he's a good preacher, like, you know.
And so why did you go down to the front of the church when he said, come down?
I don't know. I just, you know, he called on me, so I just went over there.
He saw you sitting in the audience, and he said, hey, Jose, come on down.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he call you by name? Yeah.
Nah, he just kind of looked at me, and he told me to come.
You were sitting in the audience, and he said, come down front.
He looked at me sitting in the audience, yeah, and he told me to come, because I guess he knows I'm one of the newcomers.
Oh.
And he trying to get me involved in the church.
And then you and you went?
Yeah.
Why did
and
you go?
He gave me directions. Huh? Because I wanted to get closer to God.
But how was that helping you to get close to God by going down to the front of the church?
Well, I just started going to the church because
No, I said going you know, down. When he called you to come down to the front of the church, you say you went down front because he called you to come, and that's going to help you get
so
close
he could
to
pray
God.
For me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, so he called me so he could pray for me.
Oh, and did you fall out?
But when he does that, people be falling on the floor, and I'm like, yo, whatever he's doing, I'm not going to fall on the floor. I'm not doing that.
Oh, he told you to fall?
Nah, he didn't tell me to fall.
Oh, but did he? So what happened when you went down?
He told me, like to put my head down and pray, and he had his hand on my forehead, and he kept telling me to raise my hand. And I'm like, yo, I don't raise my hand. Like, why you keep telling me to raise my hand?
But you seem to think that it's all a joke. Are you just there to make a joke of them or something?
No, I go there to listen to the Word of God. When he's preaching, he talks about, you know, the Bible.
Oh, okay. All right. But all that other stuff you don't want to participate in?
Yeah, I don't want to participate in that.
So then don't participate.
And I do be laughing because it's like a joke to me when they fall down. I'll be like, everybody's taking a nap in here.
And then, so don't participate. And if you're going there to laugh at them, then you're worse than the people that are there, because you're not supposed to go and judge.
Okay, I got you.
Those people, at least some of those people in the congregation, they're looking for something too, and they're serious about it, and that's all they know right now. But if you go in there laughing at them and judging them, thinking you're better, that's not love.
Oh, I got you. I don't think I'm better than them, though.
So then why are you laughing at them? Why are you going?
I laugh at them because it's like I know it's an act, and I know it's not real.
I know, but still, they, the congregation, some of them cannot help themselves, because they, just like you went down when he said, according to you, he said, come down. You went down to the front because you were too afraid not to. The same thing with them, some of those other people. So don't go there to laugh at them. You wish them well. They're looking for something that they have not found yet, because they're looking in the wrong place. But don't go there to laugh at them.
I got you.
All right. I wish you well, man. Stay with it, all right?
All right, Jesse. Thank you, man.
You're welcome, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Stephanie out of California. Stephanie, you are on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, so if once you overcome, why do you have to die every day?
What do you mean by once you overcome, why do you have to die?
What do I mean by it? Because it says die daily, right?
Right.
Well, God says die daily. And why do you have to die daily? Do you stop dying daily at some point?
But what do you mean by once you overcome, why do you have to die daily?
So overcome, once you overcome.
Overcome what?
Like once I overcome this evil in me.
Uh-huh.
Will I stop having to die inside?
Repeat that.
Is it not making? Once I overcome.
Uh-huh.
Like, once I can see the evil and not agree with it, why every day will it continue?
Well, what that means is that once you wake up, you become aware of those thoughts and emotions if you get caught up in a thought. And then just be aware of that, and that's how you're dying. And then don't think about, once I overcome, what happens, or why I have to do this when I overcome, because when you think about those things, you're not aware of those thoughts. You're one with them, because in him there is no thinking. So don't think about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You want, I suggest that you just live, you want a life of living without thinking. You just want a life of being without thinking. Because whenever you're thinking, you're not being, you're not one, you're not whole. Because the devil got you thinking now, well, once you overcome, why do you have to die daily? And you don't realize that was a temptation from the evil.
It's weird because part of me knows that it's such a stupid.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got on the phone, it just went right through, and I'm like, oh, this is supposed to happen. This is a good question, real good stupid question. But I'm happy to speak with you. I love you, Jesse. Thank you. I got your coin. It's great.
That's amazing, huh?
I'm sorry to waste your time.
You didn't waste my time. No, we're fellowshipping. That's fine. Now you
but
just
I'm
learn
working on myself.
Yeah, now you just realize what the devil did to you again with those thoughts.
And it's so quick. Everything happens so quick every time.
Yes. But the more you catch them, Stephanie, the more you practice staying present, you're going to start catching them before they can have a fall into emotions or anything, or you even react to it. So be patient and just practice staying present. And you'll catch them, and they won't happen so fast. Right now, they're just happening fast because you're not able to catch them right away.
Okay.
Amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesse.
You stay with it, all right?
I am.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye. Have a good day.
You too. Stephanie mentioned the 250 celebration Civil Corn that we have. Watch this at. Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America, and they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone. It's amazing. You can't go wrong. 800-411-2663-800-411-BOND or JesseLeePeterson.shop. All right? And they are going fat. We only had 250 celebrating this. Amazing. And you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong investing in silver, right? And you're helping a nonprofit organization. You're helping us to help others. So go every dime we're getting from it, go back into the work. Amazing! Super.
Super chat.
Morning.
Good morning. So the anchor babe is sitting in again for the hate super chat.
That's true.
Don't be still a hater.
That's okay. That's okay.
They can be haters.
I can be hated.
You can be hated.
I am not above being hated.
That's right. Amazing.
Someone is now a member, so thank you. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk.
Thank you, someone. That's amazing.
Tony says the fellowship conversation at the end about Jesus being the Son of God was amazing.
Tony, this past Sunday, right near the end of the fellowship, we were talking about Jesus being God. And one of the people there asked that or brought it up or something. It was mind-blowing. It was an amazing conversation. Really, really was. And you're right about that. Thank you. Amazing.
Amazing. Robert with some coffee says, Grandpa, take me back to yesterday. When the line between right and wrong didn't seem so hazy.
Amazing. Thank you. Tell me about the good old day. I got to take a break. We'll pick this up when I come back. Thank you all. The hate news with the anchor baby news is coming up right now. Not the fake news, but the hate news with American anchor baby. Back in a moment. 2 more hours to go. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married, and the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
It's Nick News, not the... I can't keep using the same one, guys. You guys love that one, though. We do have some news. So how about we do a little bit of news before the second hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show? A little bit of news for you here. And it's interesting. So many things going on. Iran furious, but we're not talking about the war yet. Talk about soccer. Iran furious after being told they must leave immediately after the World Cup match. You know, things are spicy a little bit between the countries. We're doing a little soccer game, but they actually have to leave the moment the game ends. Iran, New Zealand had their first game yesterday here in Los Angeles. Interestingly enough, I learned a little nickname for Los Angeles, who actually houses Iran, the largest Iranian population outside of Iran in the world, I heard. Tarangeles. I had never heard that one. But the Mirror reports the Iranian soccer team was brutally forced to immediately leave the U.S. following their World Cup Group G 2-2 draw against New Zealand. Brutally. They're like whipping them. The Iranian World Cup team has been left furious after being forced to immediately leave the U.S. Following the draw inside Los Angeles' SoFi Stadium, Iran's participation was a hot topic of conversation in the build-up to the World Cup. And since the tournament started with questions about how they'll be received, following the U.S.'s decision to prevent the team from staying inside the country for the duration of their campaign. You don't know what they're doing off the pitch. Iran has been at war with the U.S. and Israel since late February, with a deal still being finalized to bring an end to the conflict. However, while those details are being ironed out and obligated, the Iranian World Cup team will have to remain in Tijuana, Mexico, after being forced to relocate its base camp. The U.S. decided not to allow the Iran team to stay in the country throughout their World Cup campaign and instead required them to leave immediately after each game. Comes after an Iranian player sparked outrage for a gun celebration. Iran kicked off its... Suddenly you can't shoot guns in America. Iran kicked off its World Cup campaign on Monday night, drawing with New Zealand. And they talk about the amazing players. Tarangeles, a funny name I learned about, Los Angeles, and maybe the president during this World Cup can finalize that peace deal. Who knows? Maybe those Iranians will be able to stay. Wishing them well, the FBI did in fact foil a UFC terror plot, as you may have heard earlier. And that's coming from Fox. FBI announced that they have arrested several individuals in connection to an attempted terror plot. Imagine that, during the White House UFC fight on Sunday. Officials within the Federal Bureau of Investigation have announced that they have arrested 5 people in connection. The fight, which took place at the White House, was attended by President Donald Trump, several high-ranking members of the administration, and was the target of what authorities are calling a multi-phase terror attack. According to officials, the attack would have seen the use of drones laden with explosives that would have been programmed to strike buildings in the vicinity of the fight. According to authorities, the panic and fear caused by the attack would have driven the fleeing crowd right into the crosshairs of a sniper team waiting to pick them off. That's what Fox Digital reported. Officials then said that a second wave of attackers would have forced their way to the White House gates. Various sources reported the Bureau had learned of the plot, though details on exactly how remain unclear, executed a search warrant in Cincinnati, which concluded the first arrest. Imagine that. Great work by the law enforcement. In an increasingly third worldified America, we're glad to have the president. Trump shocks world leaders at G7 with bold reprimand of Israel's bombing of Lebanon, with chilly warning for Bibi. With this whole peace deal in the works, this is an incredible story. Donald Trump accused Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of killing too many people in Lebanon while speaking at the Group of Seven. Israel has been fighting Hezbollah too long, he said. Too many people are being killed. They should do the job faster. You don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody. There are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah. With a chilly reprimand for Bibi, the man is looking for peace, and he's doing his best here, okay? But we got more Jesse Lee Peterson second hour coming up right now.
have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Rather than dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family. I was trying to read something and remember the opening. What? No. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. Amazing weather in L.A. today. I feel like the weather is amazing around the world. You can get involved by calling 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, what did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one? And then they stoned him. What did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one? And then they stoned him. Threw stones at him, at least. What the? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around, you just can't sit and watch the show, you got to go, whatever. You can podcast and listen on your phone by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. Yeehaw! Grandpa tell me about the good old days. Every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday.
All my thoughts, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time. Because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe take this anger from my soul. And I shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I can lean on God so he can lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. Pete from Alaska made that song. What the? Hey, Pete. Shout out to Pete from Alaska. Amazing song. You outdone yourself, Pete. You're like, outdone yourself, buddy. That is a true and an amazing song. That is amazing. I have to tell y'all, and then I'll take some calls and more super chats, that had I not been here to witness what's happening in my country, had I not been born soon enough to know about the good old days, and then was still here to see the bad days, I wouldn't believe the difference between now, then, and now. To just hear about it doesn't seem as bad when you know about it. My country has changed. I literally remember, do you remember when I was a teenager, back in those days, you had to earn your way. If you wanted to go somewhere, you had to pay your own way. And so I wanted to go to California, and so I had to go up to Indiana and get a job because my folks were going to pay my way. It's not they didn't have the money. Oh, they had the money. But they were like, you know what? You grown. That's your life. If you want to go to California, go. But I ain't paying your way. I was like, what the? So I had to go up to Indiana to get a job at the steel mill. Inland Steel Mill. And working at the steel mill was not a fun job. I'd rather work in the cotton field. You were like a slave in the steel mill, but you made good money. You really made good money. So I said, okay, I'm going to work for 2 weeks so I can make one paycheck, because you had to work 2 weeks to get a paycheck. And I needed $50 to come to L.A., because at that time, a one-way flight from Chicago to L.A. was $50. You know, amazing. And so I went up there. I got a job working in the steel mill. I made a check. And my very first check, I said, thank you all for this job. I really appreciate it. I'm going. And I moved to L.A. But the point is, even in Chicago at the time, well, Indiana, I was living in Gary, or East Chicago, then Gary. It wasn't bad there yet. It was bad up in Chicago, Illinois, because they had moved the blacks had moved into the projects up there. So they had the Blackstone Rangers and all that kind of stuff going on. And we were told to stay out of them over there. But down in Chicago, in East Chicago, Gary, Indiana, it wasn't as bad yet. And so I got a job. I moved to California. I thought I was coming into paradise when I got off the plane. It was beautiful. Everything about it was good. I never imagined that one day homeless people would be everywhere. Homeless people. Everywhere. That the jobs that was available on everywhere would leave California. And that the violent crime would be everywhere, because there was some crime, but it was kind of in South Central LA area. It wasn't like everywhere. And even then, it wasn't real bad yet. Had you told me then that it would get to where it is now in my country, I would not have believed it. I did not know. Nor did I understand the nature of human beings. I didn't know. I thought human beings love beauty. They love clean and nice stuff. And as we were told growing up, to love one another, it didn't matter about the color, to pray for one another. I thought that was happening up here, but it wasn't. And it's going to get worse. But you as an individual, can be free. But you got to pay more attention to the truth than to your shadow. You're afraid to even look at your shadow. You want to take a moment, look back and say, you know what? This shadow has been following me forever. And I've been running here and there trying to get away from it. I've been running from relationship to relationship. I've been running from a home on the beach from the shadow. And everywhere I go, the shadow follow me. It hunts me. It follow me. And I'm afraid to look at it. I went from brunette to blonde to redhead to purple hair. And every woman I got, the shadow was still following me. It didn't work out. What the? You're afraid to look at your own shadow. You're running from it, and it's following you. I went from job to job, and it's still following me. I went down to Florida, bought a boat, and lived on the boat, you say, and it still follow you. When will you pay more attention to the truth than the darkness and learn about the truth? When, if not now, when? I'm just saying, because this is hell on earth, inside of human beings, and it's going to get worse. We presented a story to you of allegedly an 11-year-old boy and a 14-year-old boy in Boston robbed with a gun, according to the report, two little white kids, a brother and a sister, lemonade stand, took their money. And it's going to get worse. And white people, you're under genocide. You're under attack. You can't hide. Genocide is happening to you around the world. Around the world. And it's going to get worse. Hell is right here on earth. You're like, I'm afraid to go to hell. You're already in hell. You're afraid to leave hell. That's the problem. You're not afraid to go to hell. Every human being is already in hell. So don't worry about dying and being afraid to go to hell. You're already in hell. Your problem is you're afraid to leave hell. Who will I be if I leave hell, you say? Who will I be if I don't think for myself, you say? Who will I be if I just let life happen? I can't do that. I got to control my own life. I got to take credit for my life. That's why you won't look away. You're afraid of your own shadow because you want to feel like you got to fix your own life. You want credit. What a mess. Brady is out of Arizona. Brady, you are on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse.
Hey, Brady.
Hey, did you see the UFC fight at the White House then? That was the most spectacular UFC event I've ever seen, and how they lit up with all the lights and how the show went on, so to say. It yeah. almost looked like the... It looked like Donald Trump was Julius Caesar sitting in front of the Roman Colosseum waiting for the gladiators to come out.
Amazing. I didn't watch the fight, but I did see the promos from it. And it appeared to be amazing. And you're right. Donald Trump is the great white hope.
And like I said, he's like almost like Julius Caesar reincarnated. And I think I know that he got his face on the $250 bill now. Trump is putting his face on that, on the new note. And I'm wondering if you, Jesse, are you going to go on the new $100 bill, your face on the new $100 bill?
I don't plan to, but who knows what tomorrow will bring. I never thought that I would be on a silver coin, but look what happened. So have a wait and see. Let life happen and have a wait and see.
You know, one other thing before I go.
I bet you Donald Trump never imagined that he would be on a $200 bill either, because Donald Trump does not live that way. He has a wait and see and just take it as it is happening. Isn't that amazing?
It is. You know what I think you should do?
Do you live that way?
Yes. Do you know, like...
You have a wait-and-see life?
I don't really wait. I always look forward. I do a lot of thinking. I know you tell that's not good to think ahead, but I don't always live in the present.
And why?
I'm living in the future a lot because I try to think what's going to happen and go forward in my life and make wise decisions, because if I didn't think ahead, man, I'd be stuck in the mud right now somewhere. I don't know what I'd be doing, because.
And where is ahead? Where's the future?
Well, I have future goals to own different things in my life and where I want to be, where I want to live.
Where is
the
future?
How I want my lifestyle to be.
Where is the future?
The future is within everyone's own body. The kingdom of God is within inside you.
Where is the future?
The future is
when
what
you're
is in
thinking
your,
ahead,
you.
When you're thinking ahead, where is the future?
What's to come?
Where is the future?
I'm saying what is to come.
But how do you know what's to come if there's no future?
That's why I like to predict it, and I like to use different ways of looking into different. Like,
how do you know what's to come if there is no future? It doesn't exist anywhere. How do you know what's coming?
Because it's been written down.
No, it hasn't.
Revelations, all that different stuff.
Revelation is over, but it has already happened. How do you know what's to come in your life?
No one knows what's to come, but you can sure try to make a prediction.
You said you know how you're going to make a prediction of what to come when there is no future. It doesn't exist anywhere. How are you going to make a prediction about it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm living my life the wrong way, because if there is no future, what's the point of living? If there is no future and something to think ahead for, you're just living in the moment. You're really not progressing, according to me anyways. You're not getting ahead by just living in the future, not taking any thoughts in because you think they're all evil. I don't think that's necessarily the right way of going about it, because God gives you a brain, and when he gives you insight from above, you're supposed to use that. That's called knowledge and progressing in life. I don't find that a bad thing, is thinking. Not all thoughts are evil, Jesse. That's where I disagree with you.
Did God tell you not to think about the future, that it doesn't exist?
I don't know if he ever told me about it doesn't exist.
He told you take no thought for the past or the future. Why do you think he told you that?
I don't think he told me that.
Yeah,
he
said take no thought about the past and take no thoughts about the future. All you have is right now. There's nothing else. Why you don't listen? Why you didn't believe him when he told you that?
He gave me he gave
no, no, no.
Me
did you believe him when he told you that?
Oh, I disagreed with him at that point, probably.
You disagree with God?
Yeah, because I think you have to be able to think ahead, yet also think from what's happened in the past, discern what's going on, and make a judgment in your head.
So how when God told you... when God told you, take no thought about tomorrow, so don't think ahead. Take no thought about yesterday, so don't think back. you told him I disagree with you. I gotta think ahead. What? You told God you disagree with him about that?
Is it all right to disagree with God? I don't know.
But you told God you disagree with that part.
Yeah, he probably shook his head again at me at that time, I'm sure.
Amazing, Brady.
But, you know,
God.
I mean, you get up every morning, and like I said, when I get up in the morning, I'm standing here overlooking the mountain, the sun is rising. I ask God for guidance and please show me the right path to go about the day.
But when you do that, you reject it when he does that because you're like, no, I got to think about tomorrow.
Well, not when I'm living in the present in the morning when I get up, let's just put it that. I ask God for guidance and please.
Why?
Because I think everyone needs a little guidance in this world.
But you don't even believe what he told you.
I believe what he tells me most of the time.
He told you not to think about the future.
I don't think he's going to get mad because how many people think about like just say if you're a construction worker or you're a painter or something, each stroke of your pen, you almost have to think ahead of just say like a painting. I have an idea in my head. Oh boy, that's a bad thing I'm thinking. I want to put that onto canvas and paint a nice drawing. See, it's thinking ahead, Jesse. You're using your brain to think of ahead. To paint the portrait.
But you don't live by that. You don't live by that.
How are you going to ever get anything done in the construction business if you don't think ahead? What is your next step?
But
like in life, what is your next step?
Brady, but you don't, Brady, you don't live by that, though. You build the house, and then once the house is done, you put the hammer down and go your way. You don't live by the building. What would happen if you lived a life of no thinking? What would happen to you?
I'd probably just wither away and die.
Won't you? Why you say that?
Because that's all I do. I think and process things and what happens in the present all day long. Like I
and
said,
that's
I
your problem.
The way I grew up, one day we'll have a discussion of why I think the way I do.
But I already know why you think the way you do.
Well, you kind of know.
No, I already know. Completely.
I thought you weren't a psychologist, Jesse.
I'm not. But I know why you think that way, because you live in your imagination and you think it's real. You escaped into there as a kid, and you've been living there all your life, and you think it's real, and you refuse to give it up. Who will I be if I gave up all thoughts? You're afraid to.
I guess I am who I am.
And who are you?
I am who I am.
And who are you?
I am who I am.
Who are you?
I don't know about that, but I am who I am.
What does that mean?
I know. I am who God gave me as I am.
What?
I am what God gave me as I am.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know, but that was one of those responses in the Bible I kind of like. They asked who that one guy was, and he said, I am who I am.
So you quoted the scripture without understanding?
Well, I kind of did. I think that was Yahweh.
My way?
Yahweh.
Your way?
Yahweh.
Yahweh?
Yahweh, the Hebrew God, Yahweh.
Oh, what the? But anyway, Brady, I can't play no more. I got to go.
Okay, don't try to think too hard, Jesse.
I won't, buddy. Amazing.
Good luck.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
Okay. 888-77, Jesse. Let me go to... a first-time caller out of... Oh, let me go to first-time caller Rick first here out of Florida. Rick, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All the well, Rick.
Hey, I was just curious. I was thinking recently, those of us that follow you all around the world, like you say, and people that go to your church and stuff. I watch your church on Sundays sometimes. And I was just curious, like, mainly for me, and I wanted to find out in your situation how you deal with it. Like, when I want to talk about some of the concepts that I've learned from you, I want to be able to do that, share that with people out of love and not ego. And so it got me thinking about your situation. I'm like, because it seems like when I do it, I'm doing it to inflate my ego, because that's the way I've been my whole life. In your situation, you know, you are looked at by many people as like a spiritual guru. How do you continue to do this on a regular basis without, and I assume it's without, having a huge ego?
Because I know, without a doubt, I know that I have nothing to do with what's happening at all. And I know that I'm being taught as I'm teaching. So and then I don't think about, I never, ever, 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 not for one, think about what people are thinking about, how they see me or how they see this or that. That's on them. I know where it come from. And so, and in knowing that, there's no way I can take credit for it. So I'm not into the ego thing. I'm black. I don't even have sense enough to do this. So honestly, well, man, I just, I don't, when I do it, I don't have any feelings about it. I neither feel good or bad about it. I neither think about what I'm going to say or not going to say, unless I remember something that I want to write it down to share it with you guys. But other than that, I'm just here and the words are coming in and it happening on their own. Why do you think you're on an ego trip when you do it?
See, that's the important thing. You know, me thinking about what I want to say before I say it, it feels like I'm just feeding my ego. And I probably am, because it's the way I've always been. That's the way I've lived my life.
Right.
Until I've learned to start working on myself. But until then, so I'm in the process of changing, working on myself. So I guess I'm in that transition to where I don't know if I'm sharing these things out of love or ego. And I default to ego because that's the way I've always lived.
Right. And why do you want to share it?
Well, that's a whole nother situation where I've gotten myself, you know, I'm in a program that you don't really believe in, AA, and, you know. So anyway, the point
is, it's not that I don't believe in it. It's just that it's a waste of time.
Well,
go ahead.
Why do you want to share it? Well, because like when we have discussions in these meetings and stuff, you know, people share different things, and oftentimes they're spiritual related. And I've learned a lot listening to you over the past year and a half. And you know, I'm excited about the things I've learned, and not just from you.
Right,
as a matter of fact.
Right.
I think I've learned more from silent prayer being revealed to me in silent prayer than I've learned from you. I don't know. I listen to you a lot, so I don't know which. But I do want to say these things. I don't talk a lot.
Why? Why do you want to say them? Can you hold for a minute?
Yeah.
Let me take a quick break. 888-77-5377. Quick break. Back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. So listen up, 888-77-JESSE. I do shout-outs for you. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. And you, when Mother's Day is here, everybody and they mama love mama. You line up and get flowers and shout-outs and everything for mama. Where's the love for daddy? I do shout-outs. Congratulations shout-out. Happy Father's Day shout-out. Happy congratulations shout-out. Happy birthday. Whatever the shout-out is, go to Cameo. CAMEO.com/JesseLeePeterson. CAMEO.com/JesseLeePeterson. Or shoutout.fans, FANS/JesseLeePeterson. Shout out. .fans/JesseLeePeterson. All right. And oh Lord, your father gonna love the merch. He gonna love the JLP 250 year silver coin. He gonna be like, wow, y'all bought this for me? What an investment into silver. He's going to love that. We're going to show it to you before this show is over. Y'all don't want to show the promo for the merch. We have a new board op right now, and I don't know if he's know today is Tuesday. So go back down, man. So, your father gonna love that. Go back up. 250 years celebration of America. He'll be like, what? Nah. An investment and a way of helping. And he's gonna love punchy coffee. Like, when you open up the gift and then you have a cup of coffee there, he'll be like, oh, Lord. Yes, punchy's coffee. And then you're going to open up the t-shirts and the mugs. It's over. It's over. Your daddy going to be happy. You're going to be happy because you're happy for yourself as well. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. Or call 800-411-BOND. Or you can go to RebuildingAMan.com/stores. All right, amazing. Shout outs. No hate show today. No hate. Amazing. Let me go quickly back to Rick out of Florida, first time caller. Rick, why do you want to share what you know?
Well,
99% of the time when we're having discussions, I don't say anything. I just listen.
So you, just for the record, you belong to the AAA thing you said?
Yeah.
And then sometime at the meeting, they're sharing stuff?
Yeah, there's different formats. Sometimes people will get up and they'll share their story, and other times you have discussion meetings where they go around the room and people comment on certain topics. And 99% of the time, I don't say anything, but every once in a while, if nobody's talking, the chairperson might call on somebody, and that's rare. Or the other reason I might say something, which is very rare too, the topic they're talking about, mostly spiritual things, because I've been trying to get much more spiritual.
And what are spiritual things?
Oh, I mean, it could be anything, you know, regarding, you know, God in your life and you know how you're trying to get closer to God. All kind of different topics about God and spirituality.
But what are spiritual things?
How God is affecting people's lives.
And why do you call that? Why do you call that spiritual?
Oh, well, because I guess because I feel like that spiritual. That's what I am—a spirit. And I'm living in a body.
Yeah, how do you? Why do you say that? How do you know that?
Oh, I don't know that. But
so why do you say it then?
Well, so I guess I could only say things that I'm certain about.
But why do you call what you got to talk about that Amy spiritual things?
Oh no, what I'm saying is that what I meant by that was so the chairperson. We'll put out in a discussion meeting, ask people if they have things they want to talk about. And sometimes they'll talk about, you know, God and spiritual matters, or it could be anything else.
And what are spiritual matters?
Well, to me, that would be, you know, how God is leading, how I'm trying to stay in the light of God and the truth. And I'm developing this as I go along. So.
And so why do you, so you said that when you speak, it's ego reason, right? And so I ask, why do you want to tell it?
And that's what I was going to say. So sometimes you'll be called on and, you could say I'll pass or you could say something. But that's one reason I might say something. Like I said, 99% of the time I just listen. The other one might be. As people talk about how God is in their lives, I might feel inspired about some things that it was either revealed to me. Like I want to ask you before I hang up, I want to tell you something that was just revealed to me in silent prayer no more than an hour ago. But so I might, you know, have some revelations that I got from silent prayer or some things that I heard from listening to your program that I might feel inspired to talk about.
But
it just seems like it's ego.
If it's ego, why would you think that it is inspired for you to say it? If you feel that it's ego.
Well, that's why I called. I'm not really sure. It's just that all of my life I've lived in my ego and my imagination. I agree with your teachings. I 100% agree with that. But I'm trying to learn to come out of my imagination now. And I've lived somewhat out of my imagination for a very short period of time, and the vast majority of my existence on this planet, I've lived inside my imagination. So that's ego, that's old nature. So that's why I default to saying that it's out of ego.
And when you're speaking at the meeting. You feel like when you do, you said that when you do speak, you feel like it's ego?
I'm not sure. That was the crux of my phone call. I'm not sure if it's God that wants me to speak, or if I'm just, or if it's the devil that wants me to speak.
And so when you do speak, quote unquote, the truth, how do you feel about it when you do it?
I feel like it was the right thing to do. But that little devil on my shoulder keeps telling me that you did that just to make yourself look big and wise, and you know, you're an intelligent, wise dude, you know, all that kind of crap. So,
and so when you're speaking at the meeting, how are you feeling when you're up speaking or sitting to speak? I don't know if y'all stand or sit, but how do you feel when you're doing it?
You know what? Up until just recently, in the last year or so that I've been working on myself, it was very, very difficult because I was very nervous. So maybe that was more ego. Now I am finding that when I speak, I'm not all nervous and stuff. So, you know, maybe that's a good sign.
And so when you're up speaking about what you know, what you've heard or whatever, how are you feeling about it when you're up saying those things, whatever you say?
Well, I'm trying not to feel. I am trying to stay awake. I want to be dispassionate, you know, and that's part of what I'm working on. I'm trying to stay away from emotions, but I don't know that I feel anything really. I just feel like it's more like it's just coming out of me.
Then why you call it ego?
Because I've lived in an ego my whole life, and it's just, I guess it's just, you know, I think, Jesse, I'm just in a transition to where I'm having a difficult time trusting myself, trusting God working in my life, I guess.
And what does that mean?
Well,
you can't trust God that you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but what did you mean by that? Trusting God in your life.
Trusting that the motivation that's happening, that whatever it is I'm doing is coming from God and not from the usual evil that I've operated under my whole life.
And how do you trust that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I probably shouldn't. I probably should just, like you say, just let life happen.
And so why are you trying to trust it then when you are not able to trust?
I agree. I shouldn't.
No, that was a question.
Why am I trying to? Because I'm so used to it. That's kind of my default.
That's a good answer. You're right. It's a habit.
Yes. Oh, before I want to say this before I hang up. So,
okay.
I was just doing silent prayer, like I said, less than an hour ago, and it was revealed to me that a family with like adult children. And I'll leave little children out of it. I'm an older person, but you know, cousins, aunts, uncles, husbands, wives, and everything. I'm starting to understand that close family members is more like a pack of hyenas than it is, you know, this, because they're constantly pulling at each other emotionally, trying to manipulate each other, backbiting. So I just wanted to say that it was revealed to me in silent prayer just today how much that happens, and I didn't realize it all these years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Did you forgive your mother?
I did, yes, sir. Well, she's been gone for a while, but
oh, okay.
I symbolically went to the graveyard, and I knew it wasn't necessary, but I went to there and to my mom and my dad, and the whole deal.
And as far as wanting to share the truth, don't want it. Don't not want it, and don't want it, and let it happen naturally. It will,
absolutely,
if you let life flow by itself without your help at all, and just let life happen, there will come those times when the truth will speak through you without you even wanting it to or not wanting it to. Just like evil take over the mind, and it make you say and do the things that you don't want to do or say, the truth will do the same, but it'll be for the good and not for the evil.
Awesome. Yes.
So when you go to your meetings, don't go there thinking, oh, I heard I intellectually heard the truth. So I'm going to go there tonight, and I'm just going to get up and speak the truth. When they say something, I'm going to be on it. Don't plan like that. Have a way to see. And the thoughts will try to make you, if someone says something, right away the thought going to say, oh, that person hates their mama. You need to tell them. Don't do it.
No. But, I would say that I'd lean more towards this idea of being, when I have spoken, which is very, very infrequent.
Yes.
It has been out of inspiration.
Right on. So, and whatever the thoughts will tell you about it, don't believe it. Just watch it, but don't cooperate with them by communicating or believing it or anything.
Sounds good.
Amazing, Rick. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Thank you very much. And I will.
Rick, how old are you now?
62.
Right on. You're young.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Teresa out of Michigan. Teresa, you are on the air.
Can you hear me?
No.
Wait a minute. One second. Okay, wait a minute. Here I come. Okay, Okay, can you hear me now?
No.
You can't hear me.
No, I can't hear you.
I wonder why. Cause I'm talking.
I don't even hear that dog. I don't even hear the dog barking either.
Oh well, she just stopped.
Right. So
anyway,
I'm not even aware that the dog is barking.
Well, she stopped.
Yeah, I noticed that she stopped, but yeah. Not because I can hear her stopping. I just know she stopped.
Oh, you just can't hear me.
No, I can't hear you or the dog.
Well, you hear me well enough to hear me say, can you hear me? Then I just need to make a comment.
No, I don't hear
I just
you.
Need...
I'm messing with you, Teresa. I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, well,
is that Hillary Clinton in the background barking?
It's Tilly Twig. Stop, Tilly. Okay, now my comment, like, when you said that dream, we're talking about dreams, and
right.
I'm talking about dreams and my mother. You said...
Do me a favor, Tariq. Get your dog to be quiet because he's interrupting.
Okay, she's quiet.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, you said that dreams are from Satan.
Yes.
And what about when the word, when he said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh and the young men who dream dreams and it's about the daughters and the mothers and the son and the old men. I forgot how scripture went, but I know he said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Right.
And he mentioned something about dreams.
Well, he doesn't mean those kind of dreams you get when you are unconscious, sleeping unconscious, not like that.
Well, I haven't had any bad dreams. I just told you about the dream I had of my mother, and
right.
A small, still voice in me said, "Just kiss her and tell her you love her." I don't know where it came from. It came out the blue. I remember before that I had a dream of my sister, and I said, her name was Vanessa, and I said, I miss her. I said, let me call her. I haven't talked to her in a while, and I realized that she had passed away. You know, to me, it was like, well, I know that the dead can't get in touch with the living. The dead is dead. But that comforted me, making me think that she was okay. And that she was... just reaching out to her, me having dreams of her, made me think that maybe she's okay because we don't know what her last moments were, whether she gave her life over to God or not. You know, I haven't had a dream of my other sister at all, you know, but just her and my mother.
Your other sister's dead too?
Yeah, my mother passed. No, my mother had two sisters that passed.
Oh, okay.
Within 2 weeks of each other, and my mother passed a year before them.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
And so
I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
Our dreams are not of Satan, because I woke up with a relieved, you know what I'm saying, with a comforting dream. And the devil don't want to comfort us.
Did you forgive your mother and your sister? Did you forgive your mother before she expired?
Yes.
You told her?
Yes.
You told your mother you forgive her for what she had done to you?
I've been told her that, you know, before she got sick.
What did you say to her?
I said, Mama, I forgive you. I just said, I forgive you.
And what did she say?
She just looked away. She just, like, looked into space like she was remembering.
Okay. So if you had those dreams and they was comforting to you, that's fine. But move on. Don't put too much into it.
No, I'm done with it. I just had to reiterate on it because of yesterday.
Okay.
And then I used to blame my mother for everything.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't, her background, how she was raised.
Right.
How her parents was raised.
Yeah.
And it just trickled, you know what I'm saying, down.
Absolutely. But now that you've forgiven her, if you truly have forgiven her, then your heart will change from anger to love. And so,
I did a silent prayer.
Yeah, so
I don't have any anger in me.
Right. Hold on. And so when you have children, or if you don't have children, all the thing you're going to pass on to the world would be love, because now your heart has changed from anger to love. And so the curse of the family, at least in your life, ends with you, because you have stop being judgmental and angry and resentful. So you're going to only have love, and you will not be cursed anymore.
Yeah. And when I did that silent prayer, all it is, years ago, he did his meditation thing, and that is a meditation. Anyway, so I did relax, put my hands up. I did everything.
Right.
And the only thing that came to my mind is love. Love is the only thing that came to my mind.
That's right.
And I just want to live in love and exemplify love in my life and in my walk with Christ. You know, and I love people. I even love people that you would think was pretty odd. You know what I'm saying? I love my enemies. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're supposed to love your enemy. You're supposed to love everyone and then love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and you will be in the kingdom when you have love. You're not going to get in there until you keep his commandment to love your enemy and to love him. Teresa, amazing call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I got to take a break. The hate news is coming right now, and I'll be back in a moment. One more hour to go. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We'll be right back.
That was an amazing second hour with Jesse Lee Peterson. The third hour coming right up. A little bit of news first to keep it going. It says Hake News, but it's Nick News, but it's still Hake News. We don't have to fight about it. The ladies at the Skim are reporting on the Iranian framework. We have a framework, people. And the U.S. and Iran say they've reached a deal, a major step on the road to end the war in Iran. Officials made conflicting statements about terms and haven't publicly released a text, but say the agreement has two major tenets. First, a 60-day ceasefire to end all attacks. And second, the Strait of Hormuz will reopen. After months of reversals and brinksmanship, analysts warned that plenty can go wrong, but a signing ceremony is set to take place Friday. Then more negotiations can begin on the two biggest sticking points, the sanctions on Iran and the limits on Tehran's nuclear program. In other words, they saved a few of the hardest conversations for later. Iran has said the agreement calls for the end of military operations in Lebanon, but Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israeli forces would remain there, seeming to distance himself from the deal. Vice President J.D. Vance told CNBC the strait will be reopened in a toll-free way for the long term. Oil prices fell immediately when the news broke, and analysts say the drop should continue once traffic through the shipping lanes ramps up. It could be months before costs begin to normalize, but that's just the fears of the media. Economic recovery is not just about opening the waterway, but repairing damaged infrastructure and rebuilding inventories. So from Fox, you hear about the B-52 crash, 8 believed dead from it. Shortly after takeoff from Edwards Air Force Base, 8 crew members are believed to have killed when the U.S. Air Force B-52 Stratofortress crashed shortly after takeoff from Edwards Air Force Base in Kern County, California. The bomber was carrying 8 people on a routine test mission when it went down on Edwards Airfield around 11:20 a.m. An Air Force B-52 carrying 8 people on a routine mission crashed shortly after. Initial indications are that the crash was not survivable. Emergency response personnel were on the scene, and officials are working to account for all personnel. Boeing confirmed 2 of its employees were among those on board. The base said emergency crews responded immediately, but the airfield was closed following the crash. And so, pardon. Please join me in praying for the B-52 crew at Edwards Air Force Base and the entire Edwards community, Representative Vince Fong wrote on X. But Wall Street Journal, on all this chaos surrounding war, but with the looming peace, I don't think you say peace is looming, but Israel is alarmed by Trump's deal with Iran. President Trump's deal to wind down the war with Iran set off alarm bells where top officials are wrestling with the consequences of easing pressure on Tehran and the risks of opening a rift with the U.S. over the war with Hezbollah and Lebanon. The tension has been heightened by the lack of certainty, which is expected to be signed later this week. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was urgently trying to set up a meeting with the president to sort out competing issues. Trump criticized the strike in an interview with the Wall Street Journal and said on social media that Israel had to stop its attacks across Lebanon. Defying those claims, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said the military would hold its so-called security zone in Lebanon indefinitely. And many of you at home, you do one thing and everybody hates you, you do another, everybody hates you. CNN, Trump has surrendered to Iran. Some prominent GOP hawks fear Trump has caved. When President Donald Trump launched the war, he risked alienating non-interventionist base. And now as he tries to extract himself from the highly unpopular war, it looks like he might inflame the other side of his base. Could you imagine that? I thought he was controlled, right? While praising the effort to reach an initial deal, he said he was somewhat concerned that Iran's version of the details didn't match the Trump administration. That's from Senator Lindsey Graham. And a little bit of novel news. Could you imagine this for a moment? Sweden passes a good behavior law. Bad behavior gets you evicted as an immigrant. What a novel concept. That's the news, JLP Hour 3.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. What did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one? I and my Father are one. What did he mean when he said that? Amazing. I and my Father are one. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. If you're running around and you're doing whatever it is you're doing, and you wish you could still listen to the show as it's happening, you can. You can podcast and then listen on your phone if you got to move about, no matter walking or whatever, by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday, the last hour of the show on Tuesday, and it is Country and Western Tuesday.
Well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time. Because the devil's been making homes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe he'd take this anger from my soul. And I shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I can lean on God so he can lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. Amazing. Hassan's dog. That's a Hassan's dog. I'm often ask, Jesse, how do I enter the kingdom of heaven? How do I become one with God? I'm tired of living the way I am and being afraid and lonely and vicious and nasty and wicked. How do I enter into the kingdom? I say to them, forgive and love your enemy. Keep the commandments. Love your enemy. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And right away you're into the kingdom. You're never, the one thing you can bank on, you're never going to enter into the kingdom by confessing Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and believe that he died for you and rose again, and now you ain't going to ever enter in. That ain't going to happen. He never suggested that. He said, keep my commandment to love your neighbor, to love your enemy, and to love God, the greatest one of all, and to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And once you do that, you're into the kingdom. You're in right here on earth. He never said, confess Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Believe he died for you, rose again on the third day, and is in the blood. He never said that. And if you notice, not one person who have ever said that enter into the kingdom. And for those who have said it, because the preacher said it or someone else said it, you're still angry. You're still lonely. You're still jealous. You're still hateful and strife and revengeful. And you still cry at night. You have no peace. But for those men and women who have forgiven, truly forgiven their mothers and their fathers, and now they love their parents, and they love their enemy, and they love God, they're in the kingdom. While they live right here, to enter into the kingdom is not a difficult thing if you're willing to admit you're wrong for being angry and forgive. And the moment you forgive, you enter in. And I want you to prove me wrong that there's one person who has confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior and believe he died, and on the third day he rose again. And now you're saved. Show me one person that has entered into the kingdom that way. You're not going to find it, including the Pope and the Pope Mama and the Pope Chillens. For white people, the Pope Children. All right? Just FYI. You still cry at night. You still get worried. You're still afraid. You're still jealous. Resentful. Just FYI. Chaotic. Chaos in New York. It's so interesting to me that someone can go to a basketball game and they didn't play in the game. They were just there. Russell, we love you. Russell, we love you. We love you in the summer and the fall. Russell, we love you. Russell, we love you, but you just can't play no ball. And then come a high wind, and you go out of attack, burned out a bus, have a riot, and you weren't even in the game. You didn't play. You were just on the sideline, and you feel like you won to the point you go out and even start shooting. Does that make sense? Well, apparently it did in New York. It's reported. Videos from Times Square shows a large crowd of Knicks fans brawling during an NBA championship celebration before gunfire erupted, leaving a 17-year-old shot in the foot. Russell, we love you. And now I'm so excited we won, we're going to go out at you. What the? Watch this from X. Amazing. amazing. Remember when we used to be able to go to the basketball game or track meet? We didn't take knives to the track meet either, by the way. And you just have fun. Russell, we love you. And then we would travel around the state playing to other schools and things like that. It was fun. We had fun laughing and playing on the bus, had fun laughing and playing at the game, and went back home having fun and went to bed. Nobody shot. No one had a fight. None of that was going on. Can you believe there was a time like that? Now look what's happening. Who take a handgun to a basketball game? Who take a knife to a track meet? You know you up for you ain't up to no good. Who take a knife to a track meet? Who? What about the fun of the game? I used to walk miles to the basketball game because we didn't have no bus there on the plantation going to a game at night. So we had to walk. And sometimes by myself, it would be so dark, you could see the skies, with the sky with the stars. And sometimes there were no stars. It would just be dark. But I went to the game, walking down that road by myself. It was so much fun. And though, according to Every Town Research and Policy, New York has some of the most strictest gun laws in the country. It ain't working. It only worked for the good citizen. One of the Spurs fans decided to take on the rowdy crowd of New York Knicks fan. Watch this for Mets. For the thrill of it, all for the thrill of it. Just think about this. These are human beings put on the planet by God, by love, and something went wrong. Look how they treat each other. All for a thrill, too. That's all it is. And the ego loves thrills. Why do you think your mama won't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? The thrill of it, of not saying, is greater than the thrill of saying, you know what? I was wrong, son or daughter. God put us here. He put us here. We came from him to love one another, to be an expression of him. He wanted love to be on this earth. But you won't let him do it because you're for the thrill. You love evil. You see how everybody acts? They love that commotion. They love watching it. They love participating in it. They love videotaping it. And then they love calling up everybody and telling them about it. It's like when somebody die. The word get around just like that to the family. Everybody know in a second. My Aunt Uta went to the hospital the other day. And that news traveled like wildfire that Uta is in the hospital. Pray for Uta. And then she got out today and the news spread again. ego thrills. Where will you lay down your egos and live? Where will you stop living for the thrill of it? A thrill life is not life. A thrill life is death. You're dead. Eyes are open, but you're dead. Now, you saw how the American people were acting, right? Right there. We showed you how they carried on, fighting and shooting, and according to the report and everything. Watch how the Japanese celebrated the very same game. I want you to see how the American people did it, and you saw it. Trash, fighting, carrying on. So I'm going to show you the difference between the orderly behavior of the Japanese fans compared to those of the New York fans. Watch this from X. Look at how the Japanese clean it up. And look what the American people do, especially the black. Look at the black. The Japanese clean it up, put the trash away, trash bags. And the Americans fans are fighting, trash everywhere, kicking and screaming. You ain't going to put up with that mess over there in Japan. Otherwise, they're going to put you on the other side of the city in a camp somewhere. What a mess. Earth is not heaven, and man is not God. Over in Belfast, everything is happening the same way around the world because human nature is the same around the world. That's why we must be born again of love. Everybody's the same. Everybody got the same problem. The devil tell everyone the same thing. Different languages, but the same spirit. And what's happening over here is happening over there. The Financial Express is reporting that 1,000 gather in Belfast on June 13th, this past Saturday, for an anti-racism demonstration. Following several days of unrest and attacks targeting ethnic minorities. Watch this from Channel 4 News.
After nights of riots, disorder, and streets set alight, Belfast saw a different scene today. Thousands gathered in an anti-racism rally. Their message, we must stand up against violence and hate and be as loud as the rioters.
This is the real Belfast. Like, we need to work together, both sides of the community, to say that all people are welcome here. And I just want to say that the people who were out rioting do not represent us.
Every single time that fascism wants to breathe, we need to suffocate it. Particularly as a white person, you need to sit in your white privilege and be loud and be at the front and make sure that you're the person carrying the brunt of this.
That's not the Belfast that I know, which is primarily a city of welcome, of love, of people who stand against racism. So that's why I'm here to stand with my neighbours who maybe weren't born here, that they are welcome, that this is their city too. And to call out the politicians who, I'm afraid, with some of their inflammatory rhetoric, have fueled the violence this week.
And this is what they reject. Masked men taken to the streets, burning buses, throwing petrol bombs and blocking roads. Anti-immigration protests erupted on Tuesday night after footage captured the moment a man was violently stabbed in the street before passers-by came to his rescue. Hadi El-Odid, a 30-year-old Sudanese national, was charged with attempted murder on Wednesday. 40-year-old Stephen Ogilvy lost his left eye in the attack. He remains in hospital as he recovers. His family said they do not want this terrible tragedy to fuel hostility.
Amazing. So, according to a report, a quote-unquote immigrant tried to behead that guy. And the whites, some of the whites over there in Belfast said, you know what, we're fed up with this. The white women's being raped, robbed, murdered, and now beheaded in the street. And our government want this to happen. They let all these people in to treat us this way. And we told them, no, stop it. And they let them in anyway. And finally, the white people start fighting back. And they're called racist. So these other stupid white people coming out, attacking the white people who are finally standing up for their country and tell them, oh, they're racist for doing that. But when it happened the other way around, they don't call that racist. When the illegals or the immigrants rally and fight and steal and kill, they don't call that racist. They call that, oh, you poor, you come from a bad country, you needed this, that's fine. In this case, Sudanese immigrant, that according to a report they did that. Law, even over there in Belfast, the blacks are in it on it too. Oh, we're racist. We tired of being worried. We worried that somebody or another they gonna get us. Black attendees said they're being depressed and worried since the recent attack targeting ethnic minorities. Watch this from RET News. What's this?
I've been here 10 months, and my experience here so far has been, well, not so far, up until the last week has been amazing. There's really good people around here.
I've been scared. I've not been out for ages, honestly, not since last weekend. And I've just been really depressed and worried about my neighbours and my friends. And generally, my mental health has just taken a serious dip.
My culture is not alien. I'm a proud Nigerian. I have German nationality. I have British nationality. Those cultures are not alien. The culture that is alien is the culture of violence.
So the solution is, if you haven't been out of your house in ages and you're afraid, go back to your country. That's all you have to do. Just go back home. You're in the white man land. You don't have to be there. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Just go back home. And then you won't have to steal your house. And then you won't have to be afraid. Why live in a land that you came to on your own and now you're afraid in the land rather than going back home to your land? That is a simple solution. You ain't that afraid. Somebody lying. You ain't that afraid. You won't go home. If the white man is so cruel to the point you're afraid, go away from his house. Leave and go home. Back to your own country. Somebody lying. A white man, a debater, a white 17-year-old UK debater was targeted by foreigners. Isn't that amazing? Exis reported that a 17-year-old UK debater named Young Bob was assaulted by a group of foreigners. Watch this from X.
What the
So those very white people that were, and the blacks that were margin, stand up for the migrant. Are you going to stand up for Bob? He's white. And according to a report, this happened in his own country by a group of foreigners. Are y'all going to come back, white people, and stand up for Bob? Or are you going to do what you did right now, just stand back and laugh at Bob being attacked? So when the citizens of the UK stand up for white people and you call it racist, oh, no, no violence. We're not for the violence. We're not going to happen. Let me see you come back with the same rally and stand up for Bob, the white man, who, according to the report, was attacked by foreigners. Violence. I'm waiting. I keep waiting, waiting for the world to change. Keep on waiting. I'm waiting for y'all to come back with the same rally. You stood up for the foreigners. Come back and stand up for Bob, the citizen. This is from X. Young Bob, a 17-year-old pro-re-migration activist, was recently on GB News debut discussing the violent assault in Manchester, England. Watch this from X.
Very, very much for joining us. I see you sporting a bit of a black eye there, to say the least. First things first, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm concussed, so I've just been told, don't go to sleep and eat plenty. However, this has only just encouraged me to go out more, obviously, with security.
So go on. What were you doing? Where were you? What's your kind of usual thing? Because you go out and you try to have conversations with people, don't you?
Yeah, so I have been doing public debates since I was 15. So I do public debate stands at universities, either invited or just outside of public property. And I also do it on the streets, talking about right-wing policies. So I'm trying to go out there and say, look, people like me exist. We can be amicable with each other, but know that people like me exist and people hold to my views, and this is why I believe in them.
Amazing. It's so interesting to me that when the people of color attack the white people, the other white people come out and support the people of color. But when the white people stand up for being white, just be white and stand up, they go against them. They attack them. That is mind-blowing to me. In their own land. This is why it's hard for white people to stand up. And look what happened to Bob, according to the story. 17 years old, standing up. And he doesn't get the same support. The world gone crazy. White people, I kind of blame the older white people for it too, because 36 years ago, I was telling white people, y'all better start speaking up, because this is in America. When the white people were afraid to speak up because the black was complaining about slavery, I'm like, no, you had nothing to do with it. It's a lie. And you didn't speak up, and then it went crazy. And they didn't stand up, and now y'all paying the price for it. Bob needs to hook up with Tommy Robinson. If ever you needed Tommy's help, you need it now. So Stretch Off is open on Peel, right? .net. I'll be right back. We have a counseling service. And I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Amazing. Welcome back. 888-77-JESSE. Announcement. No hate report today. Yes, I'm sorry. Well, not really sorry, but no hate report. He'll be back soon. Don't worry. No hate report. But at 11 a.m., American Anchor Baby. At 11 a.m. Pacific time. American Anchor Baby from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. So don't worry. And the American Anchor Baby energy from God. Given to him by God, not on loan from God, it's a gift. And there is a natural energy that comes from God. And there is an unnatural energy that comes from hell, from Satan. That's the energy that drags you down, all the way down. The energy of love lifts you up. The Anchor Baby has that energy. From 11 to 1, right after the supposedly hate show. What the? And then, the meeting, the women's forum this Thursday, so don't forget, ladies, at 7 p.m. It is the third Thursday. Like the video, support us on social media, jesselepeterson.com on Instagram, JLP Talk on X and TikTok. Like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell. You can ring my bell. Ring my bell. Ding dong, ding dong. You heard that, right? Ring my bell.
I think so. No, I'm lying. I lied.
You not heard ring my bell?
I don't think.
You can ring my bell. Ring my bell.
Yeah, I've heard you do that like a lot.
Really?
But I don't know if I've heard the song.
Where have you been?
I may have.
What?
I may have.
Let me go to Jim out of Florida. Jim, you are on the air.
Jesse, top of the morning to you.
Hey, this Jim.
Belongs to me.
I'm How sorry? Doing? Amazing. All is well.
All is well. Yeah, it is. Can you hold on 1 second?
No.
Hey, can you put that down? It's beyond your level.
Hold on, Jim. Let me know when Jim is ready. What the? Hold on, Jim. Another stabbing by a black man in Texas. Did you hear about this? Another stabbing. Was this in Texas? I'm not sure if it's in Texas or Illinois. What? This is from KSAT. A 17-year-old boy was arrested and charged with murder in connection with a fatal stabbing at a Northwest Side convenience store. The 17-year-old boy entered into the business and was involved in a verbal altercation with the victim. The suspect then pulled out a knife and stabbed the victim multiple times before fleeing the scene. Watch this for Max.
Regular customers of the Classic Mart family business in the Medical Center area say they're sharing the heartache of a vicious attack of senseless violence overnight. Police say a 25-year-old store clerk was stabbed to death when he refused to sell a 99-cent tobacco product to an underage customer.
Witnesses are telling us they can't believe how ridiculous this is. They say a man was stabbed to death because he refused to sell a 99-cent smoke.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it to take somebody's life over something like so small and spend the rest of your life in jail. It's not.
It's sad. It's sad. Real, real sad.
I was like, oh my God.
Regulars say the family who runs the Classic Mart came from Jordan to build a new life.
They are the American dream, really.
It's a dream that died around 1 a.m. when police say an angry young man attacked the 25-year-old clerk for refusing to sell him a tobacco product because he wasn't old enough.
Ruins his life for doing his job. Tragedy.
He's a baby. He hasn't even lived.
Police say the victim's family saw the attack on a surveillance camera, saw the suspect run away, and called for help immediately, but it was too late. Investigators say the suspect surrendered to police hours later after a standoff at an apartment complex across the street.
Amazing. Sounds like another situation. I don't know, just how similar in some way or another. I could be wrong. What a mess, huh? And the accuser, looked black to me. I could be wrong, but he looked black. He black. And it's going to get worse. Will the people cry racism again? Let me try Jim again out of Florida. Jim, let's try it again.
Hey, I am terribly sorry about that. I was in the lab. I'm trying to train this new intern, and he's picking things up that are beyond his level of reasoning. I need some good ones like what you got.
Amazing.
They all end up with their own shows, too.
The Lord has sent him. Just be patient.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Oh, for your question, I don't know if I have an answer or not, but I heard something pretty cool.
The biblical question?
Recently. Yeah, the one about
what Jesus. What Jesus... Oh, what did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one? What did he mean when he said that?
Okay, so what I think is, and what I heard, is that it's kind of like water, you know? Water can be a liquid, it can be a solid, it could be in gas form, like a fog. So that's kind of like how the Trinity works. You know, you've got God, the inventor, the mind, all-powerful, got Jesus, the body, and then you've got the soul as the Holy Spirit. And I think that's why, you know, Jesus took in the Holy Spirit when he got baptized, and it was like him taking his mission, accepting it to die on the cross. That's just, I don't know, just stuff I put together. I don't know how accurate it is.
Well, I appreciate your response to the biblical question, and I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate that, Jim. But let me ask.
Yeah, let me tell you one other thing I'd like to say.
Okay.
Is that Derek is doing an extraordinary job over there.
Oh, he is?
I made you a little parody video about Obama and his wife eating all the ribs, and I put you in there, and I hope you like it. I'm going to probably build you a playlist over on WokeNet Wars. But it's very Republican, and it's very pro-Trump. I actually built a bionic Trump. Sorry, I'm out of breath.
Jim, let me ask you a quick question because of time. Let me ask.
Me out today.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Trinity. Where did you get that idea from that the Trinity is this?
The Trinity. Yeah. Well, am I talking too loud?
No.
I feel like I'm talking too loud.
You may be in at work talking too loud, but you sound fine here.
Yeah. Well, the Trinity?
Yeah, where'd you get that from?
Church. I mean, I know you've got a lot of interesting... that's what I love about Christians is that we, you know, but, when you we know, stick to the Bible, of course.
So you, the church told you about Trinity?
As a kid, you know, and...
And where did they get it from?
I'd like to hear what you think about it.
Where did they get that actually from?
I would imagine the Word of God.
That's not in the Word of God.
Okay.
It's made up, Jim.
Well, that's something that I guess is up for debate, you know, pre-trib.
No, it made up. It's not up for debate. And there's nowhere in the Bible where Christ had a ministry of Trinity. He never mentioned the Trinity. He never said it. It's not even in the Bible. It's all made up, Jim.
What about the Holy Spirit, though? That's part of God.
But it's not the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is just it's
Trinity,
a teacher. It's made. There's no such thing as Trinity.
Oh. Okay.
I'm telling you, it's a made-up thing. It doesn't exist. And the Holy Spirit is from God, but he's a teacher.
Okay.
But just FYI, and thank you.
No, it's interesting. You know, I got to say, in the war, I was struggling with my Christianity, and I asked God, you know, because when you have a question for God, this is just what I've realized, is that he'll give you the answer, but he's not a genie, not just going to tell you. So I was like, okay, God, where does sin come from? Because Iraq was horrible. There was a lot of death over there, and I'm thinking, if everything came from God, then what's this? But it's our own rebellion. It's a byproduct of free will.
Have you dropped and your anger?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've listened to your show, yes.
Right on.
I forgave my mom and my pop before he went to heaven. And got a great family, great wife.
Right on.
Great kid.
Yep. Thank you, Jim.
So I like how you challenge people's... I'm going to have to look into that. I think you get people to get their Bibles out a lot.
Yeah.
So you're doing God's work, my friend. Have you met Trump yet?
Not yet.
Oh, gosh. You know what? You're pretty contra. What is that word I'm looking for?
Controversial.
Controversial guy. I think that after Trump is done with his 2 years, you and him are going to be buddies. He just has to stay away from the real... You know, the real hot buttons. And, man, I'll tell you, you are a genius when it comes to trolling.
Amazing.
I love how you just give a little bit for them to say, okay, I feel comfortable. Let me talk about my book. And then, bam.
Amazing.
It is. You're a national treasure, my friend. I'll call back.
All right.
Check out Wolf.
I definitely appreciate that, Jim. Thank you for doing that. And
he's doing
a great job. I do appreciate it. All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
You take care, buddy.
All right now.
God bless you.
You too. Super, super.
Super chat.
Super chats. We got a few here. We got plenty here. Thank you very much for your super chats. Let's begin here with Popcorn Stump Keg. Says, Jesse, what do you think the solution is to the L.A. homelessness issue? Kicking people off the street just moves them to another area. It doesn't solve anything. What do you believe the real solution is?
Is to stop feeding them, stop taking care of them, and when they commit a crime, lock them up. But you got to let them suffer so that some of them will wake up, some won't. But as long as you're taking care of them, they're going to only get worse. And the law got to stop supporting them. Amazing. Thank you.
Bree K with the coffees, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bree K.
Erica Luna says, how's it going?
You got it. Shout out. Thank you.
Gregatron says, I love the Great White Hope. Jesse, do you love the Great White Hope?
I love the Great White Hope. As a matter of fact, Anchor Baby told me that he yelled at Netanyahu again, right?
Yeah, he was telling him to chill.
Right.
You don't have to be blowing up a whole building, man. Something like that.
So what?
You don't have to be blowing up a whole building to get one guy.
I was told, and I could be wrong, but I think I heard it said that Netanyahu controlled Trump.
That's what they want to say.
That doesn't sound like control to me. I could be wrong.
He's for America.
That's right. Amazing. The dream team. Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin.
Men running the world. Sometimes they'll disagree.
Amazing. Thank you.
Jim, thank you. Jim in Alaska, thank you. Says Pete, thank you for an amazing song, brother. And thank you, Jesse and crew, for playing it weekly.
Right on. Thank you, Jim, from Alaska. And Pete, say hello to Jim in Alaska. Amazing.
Fazul.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Jim.
Fazul with a super chat. I am whole. I always was. I was lost in the wilderness of imagination and emotions. I came back home. Thank you, Jesse, for your insight at church Sunday.
Amazing. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Charles says you should have person, a pastor, on the fallen state. I'll send that over to Dan.
Yeah, send that to producer at thefallenstate.tv.
That would producer save me some work.
Fallenstate.tv. Yeah, send it to the producer. Amazing. Thank you.
I'll try to have sent it over, though. It would be the best one ever, he says. Get your little black producer on it, he says. How's your little black producer?
No, send it to my producer. It's a different producer for the Fallen State. The producer at thefallenstate.tv. Amazing.
Oh, no. I got it right here. We got more super chats. Don't go anywhere. Charles, thank you. Popcorn Stump Keg with another one says, Jesse, today you asked Brady, how do
ask.
You... today you asked Brady,
ask.
How do you know what's coming? And you asked him, how are you going to make a prediction when there is no future? But you always say it's going to get worse in America. My questions are, how do you know that it's going to get worse? How do you know what's coming?
Because I know human nature, and human nature is evil. Look around. Nothing good in it. Amazing. Thank you.
C. Bill says Brady is just like his mama. Ha. And he laughs.
Amazing. Thank you.
Harmony says, thank you, Jesse. Thank you, God.
You're welcome, and thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Tay, the empath, with a couple of super chats, says, what a mess. I can't hear you or the dog gets me every time.
Amazing. Thank you. It's interesting. I was saying I can't hear the dog, but she didn't know I can hear the dog.
Yeah, you're spelling it out. That makes it funnier. And then they catch on. You see how quick are they?
Amazing. Thank you.
Tay, with a few more, says, what the? I love you, Jesse.
What the?
I'll never listen to another preacher again.
Right on. Listen to your heart. Listen to the truth in your heart. You already know the truth. The truth is already with you. The truth made flesh. It's written in the heart now. Salvation's of the heart. Everything you're looking for is in the heart. Stay home and watch. Amazing. Thank you.
Fazul says, HNN, Hake Knit News Channel, LOL.
Amazing. Thank you.
He Blat and Slow, another one from Tay.
He Blat. Amazing.
Half Black Tony says, in a Jesse voice. Okay, I'll try again. This isn't a Jesse voice, but he doesn't, you can't hear him.
Right.
If we ever needed you, Lord, we need you now.
That's right. If ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now.
That one was easy.
Amazing. Thank you.
Eric with some coffee says, drinking coffee out of my All Thoughts Are All Lies mug at the edge of the world. If I don't super chat by Friday, tell Hake to send a helicopter.
That's right. Amazing. Don't worry. You're not going to fall off. Because the earth is round, buddy. Enjoy your coffee. Amazing.
And that, I believe, is in fact, wait, JV, thank you, the great, with some coffee, says, biblical question.
What did Jesus mean when he said, I and my Father are one?
Jesus does his Father's works, and his Father works through him.
Amazing. Thank you. And I put my two cents in on Sunday.
And that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate your support, really. Thank you all so much. Let me go quickly to the busy phone. Canada, let me go to Dylan out of Canada. Dylan, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how are you?
All is well, Dylan.
That's good. That's good. I want to say thank you. I started watching your videos probably a couple of years ago. It's changed my life. I was a beta. I was living at home. I was 24. I moved out. And I'm overcoming. Showed your brother my videos as well. So he is as well. We have conversations about the truth all the time. It's great. Life is great.
Right on.
Stay
with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Yes, sir. I'm just using language. I know it's not me.
Right.
But I've been addicted to smoking, like nicotine.
Uh-huh.
And I just watch it. And I know you say just stay conscious and just watch you doing it and it'll fall away. But it just, like, over the past couple of years, it just hasn't fallen away. Is that just, like, should I just stay with it or should I just go through the pain of not doing it?
Yeah, go through the pain of not doing it. But let's say the pain gets so grateful, so painful, that you really can't help it. You just got to have a cigarette. Be aware. Don't go unconscious. Go and get the cigarette. Light it up. While doing all this, though, be aware of everything that you're doing. Stay with what you're doing. And don't judge it. Don't call it you. Don't say, oh, I'm a cigarette smoker. I'm addicted to cigarettes. I'm this. Stop saying, I am addicted to anything, because you are not addicted to anything.
I see.
And okay. So, because there's no you to be addicted at all. But when you say you are addicted to cigarettes or anything, you're taking on another false identity, and that's going to keep you in there. So try not to do it. Take the pain when it comes. Be aware of the pain, and so that you can go through the hell in order to enter to heaven, to overcome that.
Okay. This is a different topic, but I've also realized, my girlfriend, she's Christian. I met her at church.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord is right. I've realized with Christian women, they don't let you be, because I'm still in my hell in a few areas, and I've realized that they're more judgy than someone who wouldn't be Christian with their morals and values and kind of stuff like that. And they won't just leave. She won't leave me in my hell to overcome it. And she looks at everything exterior, like anything exterior that I do. She'll judge that more than I think someone who's not Christian would.
Christians are the worst judger. Christians are more judgmental than a non-Christian.
That's what I've realized, because non-Christians, they don't have as strong morals and values and quotation marks, so they won't judge whatever you're doing. When, you know, this Christian woman, she'll judge everything and hold it against the Bible kind of thing. So,
and they do that because they're so miserable. They're trying to lift themselves above you, trying to make themselves feel better by judging you, and that gives them a false sense of salvation. Why don't you put up with her? Why don't you dump her?
Because I'm just starting to see now.
Oh.
I'm just starting to see now that...
Have you told her to back off like that? Stop judging you?
I have, but she'll give an excuse saying, you know, we're a Christian couple, so we should be separated from the world, is what she'll say.
Oh, but she is the world.
Exactly.
Based on what you said.
Yeah. And I had a conversation with my pastor yesterday. On how he doesn't actually believe that we are made innocent. So when Paul says... I'm Bible thumping a little bit, but when he says, I do what I do, what I don't want to do, what I do, but I want to do, but I don't want to do, that scripture there, I brought that up And he actually believes that the sin is part of him. But I can see now that it's not part of me. It's not me. But he believes that we're not made innocent.
So why are you going to that church?
I think I'm going to stop that too. Like
no,
I said,
but why are you going knowing that the pastor is lost?
I just realized that.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah. So I'm just realizing all these things that the pastor's lost, my girlfriend's lost, and I don't want to deal with any of them.
Yeah, but don't judge him, though. Don't resent him. Don't judge him. And wish him well. I gotta run. We're about to get cut off. Call me again.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate you.
Okay, you too. I gotta go. No hate report today. Amazing. The American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. Don't forget to support us. Thank you all. And stay with it. Go to rebuildingaman.com/silentprayer. Practice staying present. Don't forget to be present. And you, especially when you keep the commandment by loving your enemy and love God, you can't go wrong. Amazing show. Thank you all. All right. From Hampton and other callers, I am out of time. Take care. Tomorrow is excellent. It's Wednesday and Manhood Hour. Take care.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing.